Last time, on Tales of the Ironlands, Kalyra Sophie's daughter had made it back to the hut of Dagny Olga's daughter, thanks to the timely intervention of two travelers. Einari also arrived, summoned by crows Dagny sent to find him. The two of them began nursing Kalyra back to health. They tended her wounds, and did what they could to lower the fever she was suffering. At first, this seemed to work. She woke, briefly, in the night. But in the morning, she had relapsed. Her fever was higher than ever, and during the day she began making strange, musical cries as she tossed and turned. Based on these, Einari diagnosed her illness as the Singing Death, a terrible disease that wiped out the Shatu clan of elves. Neither he nor Dagny know how to treat this disease, or whether it is contagious. As for Kalyra, her spirit wanders a barren, rocky landscape of mists and shadows, halfway between death and life. In that strange land, she met an earth primordial, who told her that she is in Alumpana, the world's remembrance of itself at the beginning of things. It is a between place, where the spirits of those who have refused to pass through the black door wander the mists, looking for a way back to the living world. Kalyra is trapped there for the moment, while her body fights off the illness that she suffers. After Kalyra assisted the primordial with a ritual, it told her that if she wishes to help herself, she should seek a healer, here in Alumpana, and explained that the Kramlech circles of the elves connect to Alumpana. If she can find a Kramlech, she will find the souls of elves who chose to stay here and offer their wisdom to the tribes, instead of moving on through the black door. Thus, she left the primordial behind, and set off to find the Kramlech of the Skaran tribe. And that's where we're going to pick up. It's been a while since I recorded. Life became busy, as often happens. Just to review, mechanically, Kalyra is not in great shape at the moment. She has no supplies, her spirit is at zero, her health is at one, and she's got momentum of four. At the moment, she has a variety of outstanding quests, the most important of which at the moment is the one called Don't Just Lie Down and Die, which she had to start over, more or less, after having failed it, thanks to a pair of double tens. Oof. That was really demoralizing, actually. In any case, at the moment, her outstanding vows are: don't just lie down and die. She has one called... Actually, that's it. Aside from her, you know, epic background quests, bring the Rose of Light and Shadow to death, and bring Ironlanders into balance with the land, both of which are epic difficulty. And I am considering just declaring that the one about bringing Ironlanders into balance with the land does not exist, on account of I made that when I was creating the character, and then the very first session she wound up with this other rather more interesting quest about bringing the Rose of Light and Shadow to death. In any case, the one that she has to work on right now, if she hopes to get home, is the one about don't just lie down and die. And she ended the last episode by beginning a journey. A journey to the Kramlech circle of the Skaran tribe, here in Alumpana, the mists of land of mists and shadows. So that seems like the logical first thing to do. I'm going to call that a dangerous journey. So, we are going to undertake a journey. Ordinarily, that's done by rolling wits, but at the moment, she is in Alumpana, which it has been established is a place of will. And so I'm going to have her roll heart instead of wits to navigate the strange landscape that she finds herself in. Here we go. I have a 3 on the die, plus 3 is 6, versus a 2 and a 9 for a weak hit. Mark progress and minus 1 supply. Now, this is interesting because A, she has no supplies, and B, she does not need any supplies on account of she is currently a disembodied spirit. She feels neither thirst nor hunger. I don't think... It feels like there ought to be some sort of penalty for a weak hit. I could just take some momentum loss, minus one momentum, which would be essentially identical to a regular weak hit here. But instead, I think I am going to simply give myself minus one progress. So instead of marking two progress, I will mark only one, which will probably make this journey fairly long. But that is what I'm going to do. Oh, she has a few more outstanding vows, dealing with the Baron and demonstrating commitment to Ainari, who might be better advised to demonstrate commitment to her. All right, so one progress out of 10. Kalaira struggles at first with navigating Alampana. As long as she can focus her mind on the Cromlech of the Skaran tribe, it feels to her as though she is making steady progress. But any time her attention wavers, she finds herself walking past obstacles that she's seen before. After the third time that she passes a boulder that resembles a large tree lying on its side, she puts her hands on her hips and glares at it. Well, he said it was a matter of will to travel here. I guess I just need to hone my will. It's frustrating, though. She kicks the tree, which accomplishes nothing. She doesn't feel it, the tree doesn't feel it, but she feels a little better. And we're going to undertake a journey once again. Okay, one on the die is plus 3 is 4 versus a 3 and a 5 for another weak hit. One more progress. Alampana is a featureless place. It's just an endless expanse of stone and dirt and mist. The monotony makes it very difficult to focus. I hope I don't wind up trapped here, Kalaira mutters to herself. I'm sure it would drive me crazy in short order. I wonder if it does drive spirits crazy. I must press on. Okay. I have a 6 plus 3 is 9 versus a 5 and a 2 for a strong hit. And I will just mark progress, the full 2. I cannot trade supply for momentum because I have no supply. And couldn't use it if I had it. So, I'll just take the 2 progress. Kalyra feels as though she ought to be tired. But then she has felt that way much of the time that she has been here, and indeed, she spent some time resting when she was with the Earth Primordial. But as she travels, it soon becomes clear to her that that sense of weariness is nothing physical. It must come from the surrounding lands, or from her own low spirits, or perhaps from the illness that her body suffers somewhere, wherever it is, in the ordinary world. The thought of her body lying in the bed in Dagny's hut hardens her will. I must get to that Cromlech. They'll be able to help me. Onward. Onward! One on the die for a total of 4 versus 2 and 7 for another weak hit. Kalyra wanders through the fogs and mists, uncertain where exactly she's going, or rather, knowing her destination, but uncertain that the path she is following is the one that she truly needs to follow. It's that uncertainty, she says. It's slowing me down. Focus, Kalyra. Focus. Think of Belisant. I mean, she's there, sort of. Or at least on the other side of those stones. I wonder if she'll hear me through the stones when I'm there. Think of Belisant. Onwards. Three plus 3 is 6 versus a 2 and a 10. Weak hit. Mortal minds were not really intended to navigate this realm. Despite her determination, she keeps wavering. Her thoughts skitter away from her, towards the Baron Paula somewhere behind her, towards thoughts of the Primordial she spoke with, wondering what portents it gained from the ritual that it cast. Maintaining a single-minded focus on a single destination is not something that comes easily to her. It frustrates her no end. I ought to be better at this. Or maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I need practice. Well, nothing to do but practice, so onward. Four on the die, plus 3 is 7, versus a 4 and a 2. Strong hits, marking 2 progress. In time, Kalyra begins to learn that it's not so much a matter of single-minded focus. It's a matter of consistency. In the same way that an experienced knitter does not need to look at the row that she is stitching, Kalyra begins to learn how to keep her mind on her objective while also letting it wander. It's a strange sort of double perspective. Keeping the destination in mind while also allowing herself to ponder other things, such as her anger towards Ainari for his cowardice in the face of the Bonewalkers at Elenmir. But as soon as that topic comes to her, she pushes it away. That's not for now. I must be there soon. Come on, let's go. But thoughts of Ainari continue to intrude on her previously strong focus. Got a 1 on the die, plus 3 is 4 versus a 3 and a 7 for a weak hit. Her lips press into a thin line as she thinks of him. I'm gonna give him such a piece of my mind. I'm already giving him a piece of my mind. The piece that I need to navigate here. She stops, looking around at the empty landscape, full of nothing but shadows and mist and stone. She pauses and just sits on a rock and breathes in and out. I'll get there soon. The Cromlech cannot be far now. I feel it, she says, sitting on a stone, eyes half closed. A bit of motion catches her attention, and looking out into the mists, she sees that she is not entirely alone. There is a ragged spirit hovering at the edge of the area that she can see, looking at her. Two pale blue lights hang in the air where its eyes would be, and she can see the vague suggestion of a mouth and a nose. It hovers at the edge of her perception and just watches. What do you want? She says. It hovers and does not approach any further, but it blinks first one eye and then the other. Come closer, she calls to it. And she's going to try a compel. I don't think that iron makes sense. She's not trying to frighten it. So heart with plus 1 from death touched. Hmm. 4 on the die plus 3 is 7 versus a 2 and a 4. Which will give me a plus 1 on the next move I make, I believe. Or it's plus 1 to gather information, which is what I'm going to do next. The spirit moves forward, its motion consisting of changes in the shape of the mist. Slides up to her. Its edges are ragged and unbounded. It is difficult to see where the mist leaves off and the spirit begins. What is it you want, spirit? Asks Kalaira. And she's going to roll gather information. At plus 1 from the successful compel and also at plus 1 from death touched. So, gather information is wits plus 2. So, a total of plus 4. 4 on the die, plus 4 is 8, versus a 5 and a 4 for a strong hit. Getting her plus 2 momentum. The spirit approaches Kalyra. Its tiny specks of blue light hover no more than a foot away from her face, and it endeavors to speak. Kalyra. Beware. 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 Beware what? Rolith, it says with a sigh, and then it dissipates into the mist. Rolith, she says. Rolith. Oh, Rolith. She's dead. Maybe she didn't go through the gate. Maybe she's here. Oh my. I should go. I should be cautious. Enough rest. And she gets to her feet and sets her mind on the Cromlech of the Skaran tribe once again. Three on the die, plus three from heart, is 6 versus a 3 and a 7. So, 1 progress, but that's all I needed to reach 10 progress on the track. Alright, we're going to move to reach your destination. It's a progress roll, so 10 versus... double tens. Oh boy. What does that mean? Okay, hold on. I'm going to go consult the rule book here. Stupid double tens. Okay, well, I have failed to reach my destination, and the rules say that on a miss you have gone hopelessly astray, your objective is lost to you, or you were misled about your destination. So I think it's the second of those. Kalyra's objective is lost to her. Striding through the mists, her thoughts focused on the Cromlech of the Skaran tribe. Rolith and her friend Belisant. Kalyra emerges from the edge of the mist into a clearing, and a scene of horror. In front of her, she can see the Cromlech. She recognizes the stones, arranged in the same circular shape as she saw in the Skaran tribe. But whatever she expected to see, it clearly was not this, for scattered amongst the stones, she can see the forms of elves, all of whom are bound, except one. The one in the center, the one who turns her face to see Kalyra. Rolith has bound and prisoned the spirits of the Skaran tribe's Cromlech circle, and the stones shudder with a black energy rippling across them. Rolith's eyebrows, unconcealed by any mask here in Alumpana, go up. You, she says. What are you doing here? Never mind. I can take my vengeance. And Roloth moves to attack Kalyra, and we're going to have to enter the fray. Oh boy. Stupid double tens again. Two sessions in a row. All right. Entering the fray. I think Kalyra was sufficiently surprised by this that she counts as ambushed, so we are going to roll with wits instead of heart here. Two on the die, plus two, is four. Versus a six and a seven. So she has missed on enter the fray. Roloth has the initiative. And we have to pay the price. Oracle, what does the price look like today? I got a 97. A friend, companion, or ally is put in harm's way, or you are if alone. Roloth looks down at one of the bound elves.
Look, father, isn't this lovely? We have company, and you're going to help me kill her.
And she reaches out and just draws a thread out of the chest of what must be Huron, her own father. He screams as she rips it out of him, and she grows more solid as she inhales the thread, and then turns towards Kalyra, who is going to have to face danger as a bolt of black energy shoots through the mist towards her. Plus edge. She's trying to dodge. Two plus one is three versus double threes.
Oh! So, okay. What happens when you move and miss a face danger?
Pay the price.
Okay. With a twist.
Oracle, be kind. Ninety-four. It forces you to act against your best intentions. Oh, crap.
As Kalyra desperately leaps to one side, she is unable to get away fast enough, and the bands of black energy wrap about her, clasping themselves around her like a pair of ropes. They sting and burn, and she collapses to her knees on the stone. And then Roloth begins laughing.
So easy. Come here. And all against her will, Kalyra finds herself stumbling to her feet and staggering towards Roloth.
Oh, this is just delicious, Roloth says. I never expected to see you again, but here you are. And I'm going to have such fun, as are you. Wonderful. For now, sit down.
And Kalyra just sits.
Now, I have business to attend.
I will be back for you. She leans down and pats Kalyra's cheek with a cold hand. Never you fear, I'll be back. And so saying, she casually strolls off into the mist, leaving her new captive with all of her previous captives. They look at her. She looks at them. Well, shit, she says. I don't curse much. I try not to. But the circumstances seem to merit it. Uh-huh, says Huron, still feeling pain, it seems, from whatever it was that Rolith did to him. You must be Huron, Kalyra says. That's right, he says. What is she doing to you? Kalyra asks. She's trying to use us. She wants to go back to the land of the living. Like a baron? Kalyra asks. Something like that, Huron says. But she can't be a baron. That would not... Barons are death-touched, he glances at her glowing eyes, like you. She would be something else. I am not sure what. I am not sure that this has ever come to pass before. Why are you here, anyway? I am technically still alive, Kalyra says, but deathly ill. I am stuck in Alumpana until my body can heal itself. I had hoped to find a healer among the Skaren. There was a primordial who told me that the Kromlech circles connect Alumpana and the living world, and that I might be able to find someone who could heal me at one of these. Says Huron. Well, if we were free, we might be able to do that. As it stands, we are nothing but playthings for Rolith. I don't understand how she's become so powerful. How does this work, anyway? Kalyra asks. I've met spirits here before in Alumpana. They were just pale, wispy things. And she looks around at the forms of the elves. They are, in fact, translucent and insubstantial, but they have much more closely defined features and forms. They look almost like living people, just transparent. It's a bargain that we strike. I don't understand the details. I can explain that, offers one of the other elves. Kalyra looks over at this one. It is a woman. My name is Henna, she says. In life, I was a Kukari, and of course, no one works with the Kromlech stones quite so closely as the Kukari. Well, nice to meet you. I wish it were under better circumstances, says Kalyra. So do I, says Henna. The Kromlech stones allow the tribes to channel some small portion of their life force here to Alumpana, where it sustains us, we who are bound to the stones. It gives us the ability to retain our memories. It gives us the ability to maintain our forms. And in exchange, when our descendants come to the stones and ask us for our wisdom, we can call out to them and pass on what we know. We are our people's memory, going back as far can be. Well, that sounds lovely, says Clara. What went wrong?
Ralith, says Huron. After she died, she refused the Black Door. She had not died an unjust death and was unable to return to life the way I did, seeking vengeance for a murder. Instead, she came here. She was barely a wisp of a thing when she showed up. We didn't even recognize her at first. And I think that's how she did it. She managed to catch one of us, one of the older spirits, one of those who've been here for, well, the entire history of the world, more or less. As you get older here, it's easy to just drift and dream. The dreamers, Henna says, looking up, the dreamers are vulnerable, I suppose, but we've never had one of our own come looking to steal from them. One by one, she snuffed them out and took from them what knowledge and energy she could, growing stronger and stronger, until finally she felt bold enough to begin binding us, and then pulling energy from us, as you saw her do with Huron here. He nods grimly. What a fine kettle of fish, says Kalira. How about these bonds? How can we break them? And I think I am going to ask the Oracle. How can the bonds that Ralith has made be broken? And we're going to roll on both action and theme. So here comes action. 45. Seize. And theme. 71. Seize momentum. We can't, says Henna. The bonds tie us based on our essential natures. We spirits, we cannot change. We are dead. All of our changing is done. We are what we are. We know what we know. We cannot grow or obtain new experience. I think that's why we become dreamers eventually. Just, it becomes so easy to think of all the things that are past. Well, I'm not dead. I can change, Kalira says. I am alive. I can be something new. I can be different than I was before. Will that help? It's worth a try, says Henna.
All right. I don't suppose you know how I do that.
Henna looks at her and says, "You want me to tell you how to stop being one thing and start being something new? Oh, that's a tall order, I'm afraid."
"I am death touched," Kalyra says. "I have a mission. I have to fulfill my vow to the Black Lady. Perhaps I have to be the kind of person who is willing to do whatever is necessary to see that happen. She lowers her face. "What do you mean?" Henna says. "You said that Roloth takes memory and energy from you, that she uses it to grow in power. Maybe I should do that. It's not something I would do ordinarily, but it would be a change. It might free me of these bonds." Henna and Huron grow very still. They glance at one another. "It might. What gave you the idea?" says Henna. "I met a baron. Pala. She killed her tribe. I met her on an island here in Alumpana, and she was spinning thread from the stones. I think now perhaps they were the crumbled ruins of the Cromlech of her people. She was spinning their screams into threads. Maybe, well, I just thought of that. Henna's face grows very stern, and she says, "Then I cannot recommend this course of action. You are death-touched. You should not do anything that would make you more like a baron." "But I'm human," she says. "I'm not an elf like you. I don't even know if I could become a baron, or if I would be something else, or nothing at all." "I can only advise you against it," says Henna. "This is unwise." "Well, maybe so," says Kalyra, "but the alternative seems to be sitting here and waiting for Roloth to come back and finish draining everyone anyway." Henna looks away. "There is truth in that," she says. "I think I see a difference," says Kalyra. "The Baron, Pala, and Roloth, they take without asking. They take without permission. And so I cannot do that." So instead, I ask you, I ask all of you. She looks around at the circle of elven spirits. I ask you to lend me your strength. I suppose I ask you to give me your strength, for I do not know if I will be able to return it to you. Please, will you lend me your strength? Huron raises his eyes to her. They glow blue like hers in death, and he says, I will agree to this, but in exchange, I want you to deal with my daughter once more, as you did before when you visited us on the other side. Swear this to me, and I will grant you my strength to the very end. Kalyra nods, and she says, I swear by the iron in my heart, if you will lend me the strength to do it, I will destroy Aralith for you. And we're going to swear an iron vow. So this is plus heart. Now, I am bonded to the Skaren tribe through Belisant, who is not here because she isn't dead. It's still the Skaren tribe. These are their people. Huron knows her, and maybe even a couple of the others here. There were several deaths the last time she was there. Some of them were at her hand. I think I'm going to count that as bonded. So, heart is 3, plus 1 if bound, so rolling at plus 4. Listen here, dice. You had better behave. Capiche? I have a 6 versus a 2 and a 6 for a weak hit. I'll take it, I guess. I was really hoping for a strong hit there, but I get plus 1 momentum. And I have a new vow, which is destroy Aralith. Kalyra swears her vow. Huron nods, and he says, then you may take my strength. Very well, Kalyra says. I don't really know how to do this, so I guess she, being bound by the current bands of black energy, sort of shuffles forward on her knees towards Huron, where he kneels in similar bindings. She leans forward. I'm sorry for this, she says. And then she places her lips against his and breathes in. He makes a small sound as she inhales. It's clearly painful for him. One of the black bands holding Kalyra snaps, leaving one more. And she gains 2 spirit, putting her at 3. Huron has grown paler and thinner. Kalira's arms are still bound. I will need more. Take it, Huron says. Honor your vow. Kalira leans forward and inhales once again. Just a rush of energy passes through her. And Huron fades away to nothing. The final black band around Kalira's arms snaps, and Huron's as well, as he fades away. Oh. Kalira stands, rubs her arms. She feels almost giddy. It was such a heady sensation. She feels full of energy. She feels like laughing and running and skipping. All right. How long until she comes back? Where did she even go? And before Henna can respond, Kalira looks up. There is a hint of motion in the fog at the edge of the Cromlech Circle, and then Roloth materializes out of the fog once again. She has the wriggling remnants of a spirit in one hand. What? She says. What have you done? And that's where we're going to end session, because I have run out of time. Well, that was dramatic. Oh, by the way, I think I'm going to mark destroying Roloth as a dangerous vow. And that will probably be the subject of the next session.